Hi, so let's literally hear it for interpreters. That's the pod today. Something on court interpreters in the US and something on the word literally, which is, of course, literally the most abused word in the English language.
It used to be just the likes of Radio 1 DJs saying that an album was literally flying off the shelves. But even Radio 5 recently on the weather said that it's today you'll have literally just a spot or two of rain, which is remarkably precise.
First, court interpreters. Even now that immigration to the US has slowed, there are still millions of, especially Spanish-speaking, immigrants living here. In fact, between them, of all the immigrants from all over the world who live here in the United States, they must speak hundreds of different languages. If any non-native English speaker comes into contact with the judicial system here, they have the right to a court interpreter. It effectively doesn't matter how good their English is. They still have the right to represent themselves in their first language. But in the past couple of years, there have been budget cuts in the courts, just as there have been all across the government sector. So many states have been cutting fees that they pay court interpreters, or sometimes using less qualified, cheaper interpreters. The situation has gotten so fraught in some states that interpreters are sometimes refusing to work for the courts. Nevada is one such state, which is where the big show's Jason Margolis is. Here's his report.
Alvaro de Gives Mas is a certified court interpreter in Reno. He was working on an appeals case 2 years ago. The defendant, who only spoke Spanish, had already served 7 years in prison. He told De Gives Mas that he never admitted to certain things in the original court case.
The guy was so insistent that I looked at him and said, well, I'm looking here at the transcript. It says so-and-so. I mean, I back-translated it to him in this case in Spanish, of course. And the guy said, no, I never said that.
According to the defendant, the translator had made a mistake in a pre-trial testimony. De Gives Mas went back and looked at a video of the original trial and saw that this alleged mistake was read aloud in court. According to the defendant, the translator confused one word.
This guy isn't saying, yes, I did it. He said, if I did it.
The Spanish word si can mean yes or if. The defendant claims he said, if I did it. But the jury heard, yes, I did it. The translator wasn't certified by the state of Nevada. De Gives Mas is convinced that a more qualified court translator would not have made that mistake, and the man might not have been sent to prison.
7 years. 7 years of prison. This is real stuff. This is real people that get really in deep, deep trouble.
There are many stories from across the country where underqualified translators and interpreters made crucial mistakes in court. It can also tilt in favor of the defendant. Many cases have been dismissed, delayed, or retried due to interpreting problems. By federal law, people appearing in court have a right to a qualified interpreter, explains Natalie Kelly. She's the chief research officer at Common Sense Advisory, a company in Lowell, Massachusetts, focused on language services.
So if an individual speaks another language and they're not provided with services in that language, either directly or through an interpreter, it means that their rights have been violated.
The question is, what constitutes a violation? Most state courts do attempt to locate certified interpreters, but they also rely on non-certified interpreters who tend to be less expensive. Judy Jenner, a certified court interpreter in Las Vegas, says court interpreters aren't simply bilingual speakers. They're professionals who interpret tricky legalese.
You have a lot of knowledge about the system, about what the process is like, what the papers are called. I mean, somebody could be giving you a guilty plea agreement that's 15 pages, and you're sitting in a cell with somebody, and they tell you, interpret this for this defendant. He's about to sign his guilty plea agreement, and you better know what all of this means.
Up in Reno, where Alvaro de Gives Mas lives, the Washoe County courts cut wages for interpreters by a third. He no longer works for the county. Down in Clark County, where Las Vegas is located, the courts also cut interpreter pay by 28%. People like Judy Jenner are now paid $36 an hour.
Which, you know, for people who have gone through this long process and have all these years of experience, it's just hardly worth it.
$36 an hour might seem like a pretty good rate, especially in this economy. But Jenner points out interpreters only get called when they're needed and generally don't work 40-hour weeks or have benefits. She says certified interpreters have to pass a rigorous exam. Most people in Nevada who take it fail. Jenner is one of a handful of interpreters who are refusing to sign the new contract with Clark County. She's working for private clients who pay considerably more. Other interpreters are threatening to cut back their hours with Nevada courts.
That's very concerning to the public defender's office.
Darren Richards is the assistant public defender in Clark County. He estimates that 35% of the people the county defends are non-native English speakers. The vast majority of those speak Spanish. He says fewer interpreters could drag down the whole system.
We'd have cases languishing. We'd have problems with losing witnesses and other problems that happen when cases languish. We'd have court calendars that are unnecessarily long as we wait for interpreters to be present.
Across the country, court budgets have been cut during the economic downturn. Natalie Kelly says short-term savings can result in costs in the long run.
When a mistake is made in court, and let's assume that an incompetent interpreter is used, that mistake may later be discovered through the transcription of the proceedings, and they might have to go back and something might be challenged, and then basically taxpayers end up paying more money in the long run because of those mistakes. So not having competent interpreters up front can actually cost more money down the line.
Philip Cohn, the Clark County public defender, agrees with that.
This is Las Vegas. We have a lot of victims who come from somewhere else. So they've flown a witness all the way out from Omaha, only to find out that that witness needs a certain interpreter, or the defendant needs an interpreter, and we can't go forward. And so that delay can cost the county a great deal of money.
But places like Clark County, Nevada, are running desperately short of money now. Across the board, the county has cut jobs and wages. The pain is not limited to certified interpreters and the people who rely on them. For The World, I'm Jason Margolis, Las Vegas.
And there'll be more soon in the pod from one of the people interviewed in that report, Natalie Kelly of Common Sense Advisory. I'm going to be talking with her about a couple of things, not court interpreters, but related to translation. Okay, now on to one of those wordy issues that is really utterly meaningless in the grand scheme of things, but great fun nonetheless. It's one of those BBC summer stories. Here is the grand question, as the BBC put it to its listeners. Is the word literally being misused a tad too often? Nice question. Kind of implies that it might be okay to misuse the word a little bit, but just not too much, which is a very British way of looking at things. If you're going to sin, don't do it so much that you draw attention to yourself. Not that misusing the word literally is sinning, as in, he literally murdered the English language. Oh no, it's not like that. But there is a problem, and here it is. A prominent politician, Deputy Prime Minister Nick Clegg, he was quoted as saying, well, I'm not going to spoil it by saying what he said. That's coming up, and it really is priceless. The BBC's John Humphreys, he's speaking with two experts. One of them is writer Paul Parry, who he refers to himself, perhaps maybe just for the day that he does this interview, he refers to himself as the English language's literally czar, as in C-Z-A-R. Also, Mark Forsyth, who blogs under the name The Inky Fool. He's written a book called The Etymologicon. And there are a lot of references in this interview to people who you may not have heard of unless you live in the UK. But I don't think there's really any need for me to kind of give contextual explanations. Really, the only thing that is important is how they use the word literally. So here is Mark Forsyth on how the word literally came to mean literally.
It first used to mean, well, sort of nearly literally, back in 1769, according to the Oxford English Dictionary. But the same thing always happens to words which are intensifiers that people really want to use. So the word probably comes from the Latin probo, which meant, you know, to prove by testing. And exactly the same thing happened to the word quite, which used to mean, I have a clear meaning, exactly like literally, it meant absolutely, completely, no ifs, right, no buts. We still use it like that to say, oh, I'm quite happy to do that, meaning I'm absolutely, you know, quite content. But you can then say, oh, but I'm not quite
exactly
happy.
It can be quite the opposite in a way.
Exactly, the same word changes meaning depending on tone of voice.
But literally has become really bizarre. I mean, we've had, you'll have spotted this one, Paul, we've had no less a figure than the Deputy Prime Minister saying, it sounds, hang on a minute, I've got to find the exact quote, where are we? But yes, he said, you see people literally in a different galaxy who are paying extraordinarily low rates of tax.
Exactly.
Wow.
This is probably the worst thing Nick Clegg has ever done. I mean, he's just completely misusing the word.
It's a beauty, isn't it? Literally in another galaxy.
Yeah, I don't think he does see people in another
probably
galaxy.
Probably not. No, probably
and I don't
not.
Think he... People then, their rate of tax isn't too interesting. It's the sort of thing they talk about in the opening of Star Wars films, in that little CFAX-y bit.
But it's dead, really, isn't it? I mean, if you've got the Deputy Prime Minister doing that sort of thing, then the word is in a dire state.
Exactly. I mean, it used to be just the likes of Radio 1 DJs saying that an album was literally flying off the shelves,
yes.
or Jamie Oliver saying that this recipe literally takes no time at all. In which case, it's not a recipe, it's probably one of his ready meals. But even Radio 5 recently on the weather said that today you'll have literally just a spot or two of rain, which is remarkably precise.
Yeah, where will the spot be? And then the second spot. Well, exactly. Mind you, I suspect we've done a few hours. It's sports people, though, isn't it, who do it? I mean, they're the best at it, aren't they? They're the masters of it.
They are. Well, I mean, Wayne Rooney regularly literally plays out of his skin or plays right. literally on fire, leaves people for dead. He's a
Rob
criminal.
Was saying that somebody literally had, was it Wayne Rooney, had his head on a plate or something?
Well, people put the ball on the plate quite often, literally.
Right. Put the ball on the plate. But I thought Wayne Rooney's head was... But there's one, I like this one. I'll give you a few of them. You can give me a few. This is, I'm afraid, a BBC newsreader. You are up against the Norwegians who are literally born on skis. It's not bad, is it? Jamie Oliver, yeah, world on a plate, yeah. After the first goal went in, this is Alan Shearer. You could literally see the Derby players shrinking.
It's reached epidemic proportions.
We've got one on tape, actually. I'll give it to you. This is Ulrika Johnson.
The child in Sweden certainly has more rights than any child does in this country. So the child has the right to spend equal times with parents. So they literally will split the child in half and live 1 week with the mother and 1 week. And that, parents that, tend to work.
That, I mean,
that is unfortunate. But
explain that one.
Well, it sounds like the wisdom of Solomon. I think I remember that from the Bible.
Well, quite.
But to be fair, if people were literally in another galaxy, then they wouldn't be required to pay UK tax anyway.
Ah.
I mean, it's a hell of a tax haven.
That
if you've
is
gone
true,
that far,
isn't
then,
it?
Yeah.
No, he was, yeah, we'll all literally be jetting off there soon,
yeah.
won't we? Absolutely. So is that, can we do anything about it? Does it matter in the end?
No, I mean, it's happened to quite the world in end. There's still beer in the pubs. It's all fine. It's human nature. Words change. Yeah, old English word for immediately was soon, but so many people promised to do something soon that it's now our word for something, you know,
and
in
as
the
you
future
say, the
sometime.
World carries on. I mean, there will be people out there, literally thousands of them, who'll say, don't be so pedantic, it doesn't matter.
But well, it's not about pedantry, it's about communication. And the key thing is that the word literally is a safe word. It's the only word. We have a wonderful floral language. You can say that you've got itchy feet, that you'd kill for a cup of coffee, that you'd bring the house down, that you've got a frog in your throat. But ultimately, you need to be able to show that words have a literal meaning as well. And there is no other word that means literally.
So we've
and
lost.
If the word literally's meaning is eroded by all this misuse, then there's nothing to replace it, and we'll get a lot more confusion.
We will get a lot more. Leave you with another couple of very quick ones. Collar was literally right up his backside there. This is Andy Townsend commenting on a football game. Terry Venables has literally had his legs cut off. That was another one. My legs literally turned to jelly, said Rachel Stevens on Strictly Come Dancing. That would have been worth watching, wouldn't it? Thank you both very much, Paul Perry and Mark Forsyth.
Wow, that was a side-splitting riot. Go right ahead and fill in the missing word. Better still, actually, send me your favourite misuses of literally. They've got to be funny, though. Post them at theworld.org/language. There'll be a post there related to this pod, so you just post below the black line there. Or you can post them at the World in Words Facebook page, or you can tweet me, literally. My Twitter name is Patrick Cox, P-A-T-R-I-C-O-X. See you next time.